I'd like you to turn to Psalm 29, please, if you will, with me. The Lord has given me a word, and I'm going to ask you to give me your best ear on this morning. The title of my message is Only One Voice Matters in Your Storm. Only one voice matters in your storm. Now, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your tenderness. I thank you for your care. Thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, God, that we have nothing to fear, no matter what we're in or having to face. Lord, you are there and you have a word for us. And your words are strong enough to bring us through every trial that we'll ever face. Give me the grace to speak this. Overshadow my frailty. And Father, I thank you for this with all my heart. And I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Only one voice matters in your storm. Now, you remember the story, I've preached on it many times here, from Acts chapter 27, where the Apostle Paul was in a storm. Of course, the whole society represented on that ship got itself into a storm because they ignored the word of God and the warnings of God. They set out and charted a course of their own making in spite of the past reports of what kind of weather would and what kind of peril it would be if you persisted on this kind of a journey. They ignored past reports. And they headed out thinking that they were going to reach their objectives. In the middle of this journey, everything started falling apart. I personally believe that we're living at a similar moment in history. And it just seems that everything is unraveling. I don't know if it's your experience, but you look and listen all around you to what's going on. It's not just, I'm not talking just about in this country, but around the world. There's something ominous on the horizon. And there were voices when the storm got to be so intense that things were falling apart. It just seemed that there was no way to get through this journey. They were trying to undergird this ship, and it was still in danger of breaking into pieces. The storm was not abating, no matter how much they wished it to go away or how optimistic they tried to be. It was obvious they were in a storm much greater than anything they'd ever experienced and anything they could personally handle in their own strength. And so after long abstinence, the scripture says, Paul, now representing the voice of God, stood on the deck of that ship. Now, in a crisis, there are 276 people on that ship, in addition to the Apostle Paul, most likely. And you can, there are no shortage of opinions. I can almost hear the, as it's described in literature, the cacophony of all these voices and all these opinions, sort of like listening to the news right now, of where we're going, how we got there, where we need to go, how we need to get out. And you can just picture 276 voices. They're wanting to throw this away, get this, gather this, do this. And everybody's got an opinion, no doubt, because of the depth of the crisis that they're facing. But one voice rises above all the rest, and it's the only voice that matters. It's the only voice that can keep them in the storm. It's the only voice that can get them through what they're going to have to face. It's the only voice that offers safety, security, a way through, a way out, and a way into eternity. And it's the voice of God, in this case, of course, through the Apostle Paul. Thank God that he never leaves himself without a testimony. That's why Jesus said to the churches in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of John, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you've got to understand, he's speaking to the churches that had been established by Paul in his missionary journey. But there are people in those churches, even though John is still alive, who can't hear anymore, or their hearing has grown very, very dull. We're going to talk about why that happens. But first, I want to look at the voice of the Lord, the voice of God, the necessity of hearing the voice of God. I'm not talking about just, it is the written word of God, obviously, and then those whispers of God that come to the heart. The Lord said, I'll be the one that speaks to you. If you walk with me, this is the way, walk in it. It's that inner voice that says, don't say that. Don't go there. Don't do this or do this or go there. There's an inner voice that God will give to the heart of the honest person with deep inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, Psalm 29, the scripture says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon many waters." In other words, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what threatens to overwhelm us, God's voice is higher than the circumstance that you are facing today or will face tomorrow. I know many people are here today saying, "Pastor, don't talk to me about tomorrow's storm. Today's is enough for me. It's all I can handle right now. I didn't come here to talk about tomorrow's storm." But God's voice is there for you. God has a word for you. God has a way through for you. God's voice will always give you strength and always show you the way to go. There's no test taking you, but such as is common to all men. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tested or tempted above that you're able, but with that test will make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. But you have to know his voice, because if you are not singly focused on the voice of God, there are 276 other voices that will be vying, in a sense, for your heart and for your attention. Verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." There's something so phenomenal about God's voice when he begins to speak to the heart. God's voice brings courage. God's voice takes those things that are nothing and makes them into something else. God's voice changes character, changes the bondage of the past, brings us into a new future, gives us strength where we're weary and weak. The voice of the Lord, verse 5, breaks the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. In other words, he brings down things which have been standing in their own strength for so long that they now have a reputation because of it. The cedars of Lebanon were famous for their stature, for their strength, for their endurance. But God's voice can bring down those inner struggles that go back in your heart and mind as long as you can remember. Those who would be sitting here today and saying, "Well, I've got something in my life that has been part of me as long as I can remember. As long as I can think back, it's been in my life." And technically, in your own heart, it has a reputation now of being unmovable. But God's word said, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, breaks these things that stand in your heart and mind, even with a reputation for being unmovable. He makes them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian, verse 6, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord brings new life out of that which once seemed unmovable. Brings new life where there is no life. Brings life where there's only barrenness. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divides the flames of fire. The voice of God will lead you through what is impossible for others to get through. Will take you through situations that look to be impassable and impossible, but God will tell you, "Fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to take you through the flames of fire," no matter what it is that you're facing, the impossible trials of this moment, whether you've lost a loved one, whether somebody has abandoned you, whether your children have so disappointed you, you've lost your job, it seems like you have no future. Life is so hopeless, you wonder if it's worth living. You look ahead and you don't see any possibility of success. The Lord says, "No, what is impossible to you is possible with me. Listen to my voice. I will speak to you. If you open this book, I will speak to you. You spend quality time with me, I will speak to you if you want to hear, and I will take you through the flames of fire." Just like he took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through that fiery furnace, I will take you through your affliction. No matter what it is, You're afraid of dying, and you have a report now that your life is only got a measured amount left until the end. And you sit in fear and you say, God, how am I going to get through this? Or you have a child with a diagnosis that is so difficult. You're saying, Lord, this is a mountain I can't move. This is a wall I can't climb. The Lord says, no, you can't, but I can. And if you'll let me speak to you, if you'll let me go into the depths of this place that's impossible to you, it is possible with God. Verse 8 says, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. In other words, God's voice gives us life in the midst of our most barren places. When we're dry, when there's no water, it seems like we've been wandering in this place forever. It doesn't look like we're ever going to get out. And the cry of our heart is, oh God, will I ever change? Will I ever know victory? I look on my right hand. I don't see any resource. There's nothing on my left. I don't know the way out. I can't even find any water in this place. But God says, my voice commands life where there's no possibility of life. Your most barren places will bear life. Verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and discovers the forests, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. The voice of the Lord brings new life. The voice of the Lord shows the way out of confusion. And the voice of the Lord speaks to everyone who wants to hear him. And in his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. That means his weightiness, his power, his majesty, his might. Those who know God walk into the temple like you and I this morning to worship, and we're not bringing up bragging rights of how good our week has been and how strong we are. What foolishness that is. That will soon be put to flight. No, in his temple, we don't speak of ourselves. We speak of him. We speak of his glory. The testimony of the true believer in Jesus Christ is, I've got to tell you what God has done for me. What he has taken me through, what has been born into my life that wasn't there, what he brought back to life that was dead, what he has given me, where he's taken me, how he has kept me in his temple, everyone, in his temple. Now, there's a lot of temples that aren't his, but in his temple, where he is truly worshiped, everyone speaks of his glory. The Lord sits king upon the flood. Now, Psalm 93, verse 3 says the floods, the psalmist says the floods have lifted up their voice. The trials of this life, the trials and perils of this generation, the threatenings against righteousness, that means right living, and everything that's godly, have lifted up their voice against everything that appears to be godly. But the Lord sits king upon this. He sits king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Thank God for the word of God. That's all I can say. Thank God for his word. I believe it with all my heart. Now, there's a season in scripture where the nation of Judah, part of Israel, was about to be taken captive. Their enemies were surrounding them. And there was a reason why they were about to go into captivity. Many people in our day are losing heart. They're losing hope. All they can see are the enemies. They don't see much of God. They don't hear much of God. It's just all evil reports. I run into so many people now that they can't listen to the news anymore. And they've just shut off the news. And in shutting off the news, thinking, well, now I'm going to feel good. But it doesn't work that way. You have to turn something else on. If you're going to shut one thing off, you got to turn something else on. I want to suggest you turn on your heavenly radio now and start listening to the report of the Lord. What does God have to say about these things? Isaiah writes about it. I'll just read it to you in chapter 30, beginning at verse 9, about Judah. He said, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. There's something got into them. They said, we will not hear. We don't want to hear what God has to say. Which say to the seers, that means the people who had the ability to technically see the situation, the hour they were living in, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. In other words, we're moving as a people to a certain destination that we feel is our right and privilege, and you are standing in our way. And so they said to the prophets, who are warning them, don't go this way. Get out of our way. Turn aside out of the path and cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and you trust in oppression or fraud. The word is actually fraud. You trust in fraud and perverseness and stay there on them. It means you put your trust in that which isn't true. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. In other words, he said, trusting in this crookedness, there's going to be a sudden calamity come, and you're going to have no strength to stand against it or to stand up in the midst of it, like a dam as it is suddenly breaking through a wall. You'll be simply swept away by the strength of what opposes you. And he shall break it in as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He will not spare. There not be found in it the bursting of a sherd to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. In other words, the destruction will be so complete there'll be hardly anything left to work with. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But you would not come. But you said, no, we'll flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. We'll ride upon the swift. Therefore they shall be swift that pursue you. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and a sign, an unsign on a hill. Amazing. Those who won't hear God's word, he said, there's a season coming. You're going to flee. You're not going to have strength to stand. And the end result is that you're going to be left as a sign on a hill, a sort of a public record of what happens when we shut our ears to the voice of God. He said, I was speaking to you, and I wanted to bring you into a place of confidence, quietness in your spirit. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And you wouldn't come. Isn't that strange? Now, why does some of God's own people lose the ability, or even in some cases, actively resist hearing the voice of Christ in the Scriptures? As well as I spoke earlier about those powerful whispers of the heart that come to those who are walking with God. Now, in the last book of the New Testament, Jesus was speaking directly to seven churches. And some of these believers, ironically, had closed themselves off to both the warnings of God and the promises of God and the promise of strength and victory. Their ears were closed to both. It's amazing. Now, these are New Testament believers who are part of the church while John the Apostle is still alive. So they're only really a stone's throw from the cross. But they've already closed their ears to the one who had bought them with his own blood. And we have to ask ourselves, how did this happen, lest it should happen to us? Lest you and I should be found in our season of crisis, today and tomorrow, not able to hear the voice of God, not able to hear the warnings when the Lord says, don't move this way, you're going to lose your strength, not able to lay hold of the blessings because they don't make sense to our natural mind. The church of Ephesus had simply lost their first love. That's what closed many of the people's ears. They were in church because they were part of the church, but they didn't love Christ any longer the way they used to. There was a season where they were passionate for God, for his kingdom, for his word, for his work to go forward, but they had just lost their first love. And you know, folks, if that's happened to you, there's a danger of that in all of us constantly. Nobody's exempt from this. What I've found over the years is if I've found an encroaching coldness coming into my heart, I just simply go into prayer and say, Lord, and I just acknowledge it. I don't try to hide it. I just go to God and say, Lord, my heart's growing cold, and you've got to help me. And the Bible says whoever asks, it will be given to him. And I happen to believe that. It's no more complicated than that. And then suddenly I find my heart strangely warmed again. And Sometimes it's just sovereign. It happens just reading the word. And other times it'll be meeting another Christian who just encourages me, or somebody gives me a message, or somebody preached somewhere, and suddenly that what's growing into just an ember fans into flame again inside my heart. And so I understand this struggle, and there's no shame in admitting if your heart is becoming cold to Christ and to his work. The church of Smyrna were fearful. They were facing persecution and imprisonment for the testimony of Christ, and fear had closed many of their ears. They wanted to hear something. They didn't want to hear the truth of where they were headed. They wanted to hear something, remember, smooth. Remember in Isaiah's day, we don't want to hear this. I didn't come to church to hear about this. I came to church for somebody to tell me that everything is going to be wonderful in my life. My future is going to be wonderful. I'm going to get that promotion on my job. I don't want to hear about going to jail, that I'm going to have great success. I don't want to hear about being persecuted in my home or my neighborhood or my workplace. And so fear closed their ears, and fear can cause that. It's a human response, sort of like, la, 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 tell me something. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. When you're ready to say something nice, I'll listen to you. But I don't want you to talk to me about this. And it's a natural human response. We need to pray for the courage to hear all things that God would speak. The hungry soul, as Scripture says, to the hungry soul, even the bitter things taste good. You know, so we have to say, God, even those things that are hard for me to hear, don't let me close my ears to them. Don't let me push it away. The church of Pergamos were giving place or considering the words of seductive preachers who were binding them again to the lust of things they'd left behind. They instinctively knew that to follow Christ meant the giving up of many things in this life to embrace things that only he could give them. But there were seductive preachers there, as there are in our generation, no shortage of them, drawing the people of God back into the love of the things of this world. In Thyatira, many of the people in that church were listening to the voice of the prophetically false. They were given to sensationalism. They were drawn to this kind of paranormal as opposed to the supernatural. And these voices say, you know, this is what God showed me. You know, half of Russia is going to fall into the ocean in, you know, October 21st. So they were listening to this. You see the poor misguided Christians who were all around the city here a year ago with their billboards and stuff talking about the end of the world. Moving them away from the true purpose of Christ's testimony in us on the earth. And so you have to be careful, because there's a natural drawing of the human heart to fortune telling, even in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to beware of this. Beware of these people that are prophetically false, and they lead you away from the work of Christ. Sardis, it was a church that was just simply no longer spiritually hungry. They settled in for outward appearance instead of an inner passion for God. They were happy just to be in church. They were happy just to change their clothes on Sunday. They were happy to sing the songs, but they had really no passion for the things of God. And it closed their ears to the things that God was trying to tell them. Keep in mind, many of these churches were not that far from a worldwide time of persecution. They were going into trial whether they wanted to hear it or not. And of course, the church of Laodicea, the last church that, before I finish with Philadelphia, were satisfied with where they were and what they had, and they didn't see the need for anything more. Hey, I got a good job. I got a nice family. You know, I'm not suicidal anymore. I understand the Bible. I've got a ministry of some sort, and so I'm quite happy with where I am. I don't see the need to change. I don't want anything to change. To me, this is heaven. And some people, that's exactly the way you feel. I mean, life was so awful before coming to Christ that where you are right now, just, I don't blame you. It can happen to any one of us. It's just like, I've been there myself. I mean, this is fine. I like it where I am. I really don't want to change. Can we just keep everything the way it is? And that's human nature. And the Laodicean church had almost wholeheartedly fallen into this. And because of it, Jesus is knocking at the door to give them something much deeper than what they have. Much more valuable than what they've held to. Much more profound than the testimony that they had settled for. But I don't know if they could hear him knocking. I'm not sure. The only church where it appears that everyone could still hear was a church by the name of Philadelphia. As far as I can see, Jesus had nothing against this church, although he still does conclude it by saying, "Who has ears to hear?" Here is a people who had just a little strength, but they were moving ahead by the word of God, and they could still believe that what Jesus speaks, he's able to perform. He came to this group of people and he promised to be with them. He promised to establish them in supernatural strength no matter what they had to endure. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, he says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. You've kept my word and not denied my name." Now, this is really important. These people knew they weren't strong in themselves. They weren't boasters. They weren't braggers. They weren't settling in to an inferior walk with God. And they knew they had little power to go forward. They only had a little strength. But God could speak to them, and they would hold his word. They would believe his word, and they would not deny his name, which means, God, what you speak to me, I believe you are able to perform it. I don't have the strength to do this, but I read it in your word, and you're whispering it to my heart, and I believe, God, with all my heart, that you are able to perform in me that which you promised to me. I am not the person that I should be, and I don't have the strength to become. I only have a little bit of strength. I don't have the strength to become what I feel that I should be. I can't love the way I should. I can't be the husband or wife that I'm called to be. I can't be the son or daughter that I should be. I fall and I fail, but you have given me your word. You have promised me that my life is going to honor you in the earth, and you've showed me and you've whispered into my heart promises, and I will not deny your name, that you are able to do in me everything you said you can do. I have entrusted my life into your hand, and I believe that you can keep the testimony of your life in me alive and intact until the day I stand before your throne. And here's what Jesus said to these people who are not strong in themselves. They're not proud. They're not arrogant. They don't think they have it all together. They're not the most learned. They don't have the highest reputation in the church. But he says, "Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I'll make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I will do such a work in you," excuse me, "that everybody who has claimed to have a relationship with me will know that they really don't have what they profess to have, because I'm going to do something so sovereign in you. I'm going to take the weakest of the weak, and my voice is going to rise in your storm, and I'm going to lead you to strength and peace and confidence and safety. And everybody who knows you, everybody who knows you will know that you don't have the strength to be the things that you've become. Your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, they'll all look at you and they say, listen, I thought I knew God, but I don't know him the way you do. Where are you getting this confidence in the midst of your struggle? Why are you not afraid like the rest of us are? How come that you're not swayed by all the newscasters, all the prognosticators, all the voices, all the opinions, all the argument, all the railing, all the anger, all the accusation? How come it's as if you're only listening to one voice? Because you've kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Lord said to this church, there's a time of testing coming on the whole world. And if because you know that I'm the source of your strength, and you are unwilling to deny my name, you're not willing to settle for powerless religion, passionless religion, fraudulent religion. You want to hear my voice. He said, I will keep you from this hour of trial that will come upon the whole earth. It doesn't mean you won't go through it. It means it won't go through you. It doesn't mean you won't be on the ship when it falls apart, like in Paul's day. Paul had to swim just like everybody else on the ship. It doesn't mean there won't be a few cold days and cold nights. But I will keep you. I will keep you. I will bring you to a desired end. You will have quietness and confidence. I have a sense that there was an eerie quiet. As the natives on this particular island are watching these people come in and they're seeing 276 or 77 people hanging on to pieces of wood coming ashore. And there's a strange lack of fear upon these people and panic as they're coming ashore. It must have been quite the sight for them to see. I'll keep you from this hour of temptation. Behold, he says, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have and don't let anyone take your crown. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. That's an incredible promise. I will give you strength and you will stand. That's what pillars are known for. They stand and they're quiet and they're confident and they're able to hold up others and other structures around them. And he says, those who turn to me and don't give up, I will give you a source of strength that is not found anywhere in this world. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give to them a secure future. You are in my hand, and I place you also in my Father's hand, and no one can take you out of my Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice. The voice of Christ leads us to the hand of God, which closes itself around us in a place of security and safety, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult or deep your storm might be. And there's a quietness and a confidence when you know you're in the hand of God that cannot be found anywhere else in this world. No one can take me from my Father's hand. No mountain, no enemy, no angel, no army, no contrary argument, no valley, no wall, no arrow by day, no terror by night can take me from the hand of my Father. That's why the psalmist says in these first couple of verses, give to the Lord, O ye mighty, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. In other words, come into the house of God and let him be strong in you. That's what it means. Give him glory. It's not talking about us coming in and talking about how strong we are. Come in and give him the glory of being your strength, your guide, your hope, your life. Give him the glory that's due to his name. In other words, when you come in, say, God, thank you. Thank you. I shouldn't have peace in this place I'm in, but I do. Thank you. I should be overwhelmed, but I'm not. Thank you. I should be triumphed over, but yet it seems in you I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. What used to defeat me, now I have been given of God the strength to take even a bow of steel in my arms and to break it. I have a strength that is not my own. I have a heart and a mind and a hope that couldn't come from anywhere but God. I didn't get it from this world. And so I come into the temple and I just choose to give glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. I shouldn't be able to get through this. It should have destroyed me by now. It's a circumstance that nobody around me would be able to get through. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the word of God, his voice is higher than all the waves that are coming against me. He sits as king of my flood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. You must let him do what only God can do. Don't try to figure it out. Don't say we'll ride on horses. Don't think you can outrun your enemies. Don't think you can just muster up your own optimism and get through the fear. Whatever it is that you're facing, let Jesus do what only he can do. Open your heart and your ears to his word. And what he speaks to you, let him do it. Believe him. Give him the glory that's due to his name. And that's where I finish. Whatever your storm this morning, there are some people here this morning and listening online that are going through some incredibly terrible storms. Whatever your storm, my challenge to you is give glory to God by letting him be your quietness and your confidence in the middle of your storm. Let him take you through the flames of fire. Let him bring life where there is no life. Let him bring hope where there's only dryness. Let him stir a passion in your heart again if it's grown cold. Let him do what only he can do. He's not ashamed to call you his child, so don't be afraid of being honest with him. Just admit to your need, your situation, and bring him the glory that's due. It's the cry of my heart now. Lord, let my life bring you the glory that is due to your name. Let me never take an ounce of credit for what you alone have done and will do in the days ahead. But let my song be of you. Let the quietness of my heart bring honor to your name. I want to give an altar call this morning for everybody who's in a storm. And you want to get rid of the 276 voices and let only one remain. You just want all those other voices to go away and one voice to rise above them all, to drown them out. The Lord sits king over the flood. Whatever kind of a flood you're in, his voice is the only voice that matters. Today, if you can hear his voice, the scripture says, don't harden yourself against it, but humble yourself in the sight of God. And he will lift you up. Now, Father, I thank you for giving me the strength to deliver this morning. I thank you, Lord, there's something deeper in this word than I can even understand. I know your heart has touched mine and I have touched yours today. God, help us all to hear you and to let you be God in us. Give us strength today that we're going to need, and that we do need. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If this message is for you today, and we can pray together for God to give you strength in your storm, as we stand together, please just make your way to the front of the sanctuary, and we'll pray together in just a moment after we worship. In the annex, could you just stand between the screens, please, and also in Roxbury. And for those at home, maybe just kneel around your coffee table if you're close to it as a family. And I'll pray for you that God give you strength to get through your storm. Remember that Paul said on that ship, cut off the lifeboats. In other words, all the stray thoughts and all the stray ideas, cut them off. And take some meat, which means that here's what you need right here. Take some of this and begin to digest it. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever had a chance to swim in the ocean. I have. When you have a storm that has big enough waves to destroy a ship, and this was a ship, a sailing ship, the odds of reaching shore are almost zero. There'd be such a pullback from the tide. Even with 4 and 5 foot waves, you're in danger of being drawn out to the sea. And so you see, the odds of these people reaching the shore, all of them would be zero unless the hand of God was on them. And how curious it must have been for those who knew the ocean to be standing on the shore watching them come in, hanging on to a piece of wood, which is a type of hanging on to the cross and the full victory of Christ, and just gliding over the surface, and everybody, nobody drowns, nobody gets drawn out to sea, everybody makes it to shore. When you and I are in the hand of God, the miraculous begins to happen. It truly begins to happen. Now, Father, I thank you that, Lord, you're going to give us ears to hear. We can't be listening to our own hearts now. We can't be listening to the radio or the internet or television. None of these have an answer. Lord, you have the answer for each of us, Lord. So you'll have to give us ears to hear you and hearts to obey. And Lord, the one thing I do know, we will come back into the temple and we will speak of your glory. You cannot lie. You do not lie. What you say you do, and what you are able to speak to our hearts, you are able to perform. And Father, I thank you. I pray for all my brothers and sisters here who are facing absolutely impossible situations. I thank you, Lord, for the word today that says I'm going to so do something in you that people will have to acknowledge that I have loved you. I've loved you. It's been my love that has brought you through and kept you and given you strength that's not possible for humans to have in their own. Lord, I thank you, God, it will be a testimony. You said that they will come and bend at our feet and acknowledge that you've loved us. I thank you, Lord, for how true you will be to each of us and how true you are. God Almighty, keep our ears open. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.